Good evening. Michael wasn't joking when he said, well, he was joking when he was making fun of Denny, at least I hope so. But he wasn't joking when he said we have a great chance to worship together. I love the energy that we have. I love the passion that we put behind singing those songs. If you want to grab a Bible, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4 for just a few moments tonight. 1 John chapter 4 will be where we're kind of camping out tonight. Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. This is what some scholars call the Jesus Creed, the core defining statement of who Jesus is and what Jesus was about. That all of Jesus' teaching, all of his kingdom activity, all of his miracles, all of his work, centered from this. They flowed from this core, to love God and to love others. Continuing the trend that we've had for the past couple weeks of using excessive amounts of acronyms, we're using the acronym LGLP, to love God and to love people. And this morning we reflected on this idea. That if we are going to have a driving statement of our lives, a life motto, then this should be it. That there's no other statement, that there's no other guiding principle in our lives that is more powerful than this. And we looked at some ways that Jesus lived this out at the table with people who were marginalized, who were outcasts, how Jesus loved God and loved people in the midst of interruptions, even like in an interruption of a resurrection. We looked at how Jesus was valuing needs over labels. This is how Jesus lived out the Jesus Creed, lived out loving God and loving people. And this is where we pick up tonight. So let's pray as we dive into the Word. God, thank you for the work that you do in our lives. Father, thanks for the chance that we have to be here together, to sing your praises, to shout your name, to come before you in prayer. And God, we pray that as we open your word, that your word would read us and that our hearts would respond to you. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to share a very simple truth. It's a truth that you have probably heard thousands of times in your life. But it's a truth that changes things. It's a truth that once it gets inside of you, you can't help but live like it. There's one writer who said that once you know some things, you can't unknow them. It's like a burden that can never be given away. And what she means is that once some things get inside of your head, it's hard to get those things out of your head. They become like this burden that you have to carry around, that you can't get rid of, that you can't unknow anymore. Things like learning about pink slime. I don't know if you remember this from back several months ago. It might even be a couple years ago now. I don't remember. But this scandal of the pink slime, when we learned what was really in some of our fast food meat. And I think Taco Bell was kind of at the wrong side of this revelation that taco meat that looks like beef actually looks a whole lot more like this pink slime to begin with. Once you learn that, you can't unknow it. I think I've eaten at Taco Bell exactly one time since I have learned about the pink slime. You learn these things and you can't unknow them. Or learning that there are approximately 1,500 calories in an average milkshake, which for some people represents enough calories for an entire day. You can't unknow that. You're welcome. Now, of course, we can choose to ignore it, but we can't unknow these kinds of things. Or the fact that 83% of all children who have died under the age of 5 have died from preventable diseases. Or the fact that there are 783 million people in the world who don't have access to clean water. Or the fact that there are almost 2.5 billion people, it's a billion with a B, who don't have adequate sanitation. Knowing these kinds of things creates a burden, or at least it should. that we can't just shut these kinds of things out. We can't just ignore these. We can't just shove them underneath a rug. We learn these things and they become a burden for us. But there are some things that we learn that aren't a burden. Some things that once they get inside of our brains and inside of our hearts become like a freeing revelation for us. Like when in college when I learned that coffee's actually not bad for you. I developed the habit of enjoying copious amounts of coffee and felt guilty about it for a while until I read a whole bunch of studies that says as long as you don't smoke when you drink coffee, then you can drink just about as much coffee as you want. And that's a freeing thing for me. Or the fact that dark chocolate can actually be really, really healthy. There might be 1,500 calories in your strawberry milkshake from Dairy Queen, but there's a lot of good stuff in that piece of dark chocolate that you have at lunchtime. Learning that it's a freeing thing. There's no guilt there. There's no fear there. Back several months ago, I had what I thought was a heart problem. I had some weird heart rhythms, and I talked to you guys about that a little bit. Like my heart just didn't feel quite right. And I went to the doctor and went through some tests, was supposed to get a test in the mail that never came in the mail, and I never had the test. But turns out I didn't need the test because there was nothing wrong with my heart. I thought there might have been. But when I learned that my heart was good, that there were no problems there, it was freeing. I didn't have to stress out about it anymore. I didn't have to be afraid of it anymore. Some things that we learn can set us free. But we can also begin to take some of those things for granted, can't we? And we do this. We do this a lot. Whether it's with our families that are blessings to us that we take for granted, or whether it's our homes, or whether it's the food that we get to enjoy, or whether it's our health. Truth is, we take these things for granted all the time. And we apply that to our spiritual lives. There are truths, freeing truths, that we learn through Scripture that should set us free, but that sometimes we allow ourselves to take for granted. And none of these are probably more true than the truth that we have for tonight. And that's a simple fact that God loves you. We say this all of the time, don't we? We tell our children this and we put it on our wall and we sing songs about it. Almost to the point where these three words can become almost like a cliche. But this simple truth, once we learn it, and not just learn it in our heads, but once we learn it in a way that we can internalize it, begins to change us. The fact that there is nothing you could ever do to make God love you any more than God loves you right now in this moment. And that there's nothing you could ever do to make God love you any less than what God than how God loves you right now in this moment. You learn that. You know that. And it sets you free. I want to read a passage from 1 John, where the Apostle John kind of reflects on the way that Jesus has lived this love God and love people, and the way that Jesus has asked us to live this love God and love people. Starts in verse 7, John writes, "Beloved, let's love one another, for love comes from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this, the love of God, was made known among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that the world might live through Him. And this is love, not that we've loved God, but that He loved us. And He has sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is perfected in us. And by this we know we abide in Him and He in us, because He's given us His Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God." And so this is where it gets really powerful. Verse 16, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." What John says here, says that we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. us. And he says that love isn't just something that we can read about in a book. It's not just something that we feel as these warm fuzzies inside of us. This love of God is the love that sent Jesus to the cross. Sent Jesus to the cross to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And this truth is a truth that changes the world. And it's a truth that changes our lives. I just want to share very quickly some ways this love changes us. First, this love sets us free from fear. We don't have to be afraid of what people think of us anymore. And we don't have to be afraid of our failures. And we don't have to be afraid of what we see on the news. Because what's it say? Perfect love casts out fear. And this love gives us confidence. It gives us confidence to approach God, confidence to face God in the judgment. And it gives us confidence to face life's unknowns that we see every day of our lives. And it gives us confidence to walk in union with God. And this love motivates us to love others. That's the driving force behind what John says. He says it's not just enough to know that God loves you, but you need to respond to that love by loving others. And when we let this love of God settle into our hearts, it motivates us and it pushes us and it compels us forward. Our love for others isn't a cheap love. It's not a cliche love. It's not a love that just exists in pretty little phrases. The love that God has called us to is a love that lives in the nitty-gritty of everyday lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes that the love of Christ compels us. It captivates us. It motivates us. It pushes us on because we have concluded this, that one has died for all and therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves but for him who died and was raised for them. This is the love of God. And this is the love of God that is real for you and for us and for this world right now in this moment. And so the question as we close, how do you need to let the love of God change you? How do you need to let the love of God begin to work into your life? How do you need to let the love of God begin to work in the way that you think? How do you need to let the love of God begin to work itself out in your interactions with others? Because the love of God loves us just as we are, but it doesn't want to leave us as we are. The love of God changes us. Tonight, if you need to respond to that offer of love by repenting of your sins and by being buried in baptism, so that you can have the forgiveness of those sins, so that you can walk daily in this love, then make the decision to do that tonight. Or tonight, if you're struggling and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we would love to pray with you. If you need to respond to God, would you come and talk to me as we all stand and worship?